If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Merkel Media.
Yep. Yeah. I hadn't heard of it until she came out there and, so I spread this down. I'm like, okay. And it probably worked better than salt or anything else that I've used. But, later on when I tell people about it, they're like, oh yeah, ashes are great to use.
Yeah.
But I had never, up until that point, I'd never.
I'm telling you, if I would have known this, I would have gotten like a 5-gallon bucket and just dumped ashes in it and threw it in the truck just so I, I had it.
Yeah.
Man, that's so cool. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, we're going Hodge, and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I'm your host, Tony Merkel.
And I am Brian Merkel.
And we're really glad you're here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with us from the road on the show, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com. That's hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section and you can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. And if your fingers don't work real good and you suck at typing, there is a voicemail line. Dad, tell them about it.
All right. The voicemail line is a 5-10 minute story. Give us a call at 515-585-MERK. That's 515-585-6375.
6375. Give us a call with your quick hitters and we'll play it on a voicemail line show in the future. Also, preparedness. We've been talking about it. You either been heeding the advice for the last couple of years or you have not. Either way, we'll keep talking about it for you guys. Prepare with HLL.com. That's prepare with HLL.com. So far, my Patriot Supply has not told me they're running out of food. If they tell me that, I'll let you guys know, or maybe you'll just know when we stop talking about the prepare site. But right now, you can actually still get food through the prepare site. So prepare with HLL.com. You can get yourself the emergency supply food that you so desire for you and your family, and the food will last 25 years on the shelf. They also have survival gear on the website as well. You can surf around, but go there through preparewithhll.com, and that will help the show out a ton, right?
You got that right.
Yeah, so we also have buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane, buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. Or buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane.
Yep.
Tell them about that if it's not too obvious, Dad.
It should be obvious by now.
Yeah.
Caffeine makes the world go round.
Yes, it does.
At least it makes my world go round.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, guys, like we get together, we do the show and stuff. If you want to, participate in a virtual tip jar, just out of goodwill and stuff, that'd be very much appreciated. And it's buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. And you can support the show that way if you so choose. We have an announcement.
We have
an announcement before we get into this week's guest, which is going to be Brian. Speaking of Brian and Brian, we're going to have Brian and Brian on the show on a regular, not the Brian, the guest today, but another Brian, a lot of Brians.
There is a lot of Brians. B squared.
So, B squared. That's not. Hey, there you go.
There you go.
Maybe we'll do that.
Hammer Lane Legends. B squared.
Be a square. So there's things changing for Hammer Lane, mainly because it's my fault. But
it's your fault.
I'm moving to Tennessee, and it's not even the move to Tennessee that's the big issue. It's the stuff that I'm doing in Tennessee. I'm trying to build out Merkle Media to a bigger company. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of goals that need to be worked out with this company. But I mean, just give people an idea. It's not going to be just podcasts. It's going to be documentaries. It's going to be hopefully short films, maybe even one day full-blown movies.
Right.
I was talking with a guy who is in the movie industry just yesterday, and he said that they have a movie that's about to sell to a private investor for $3 to $8 million.
Wow.
And he said if that sale goes through, his team would have financial wiggle room to help support a feature film through my company.
Cool.
And so there's a lot of things like that. And we're looking at doing children's cartoons, trying to bring back the whole Saturday morning cartoon thing.
That's cool.
With some more, I think, personally appropriate cartoons. And just trying to build culture, do comic books, have musicians, and just tons of different things. Basically anything with the entertainment industry. And so with that, it requires a lot of time. And I'm not stepping away from the show, but I am taking a back seat from the show. I think that's probably the best way to go about it. You and I actually were just talking about it before we hit record here. And Brian Shipper has been a guest on the show how many times now? Three times? I think it's been more than that, right?
Yeah, well, I'm sure it is.
At least three times.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you know, because he's been down with other people. He's been, you know, Jeff Hamill.
So he's with Jeff Hamill.
Himself.
His initial interview. Like, I feel like we did maybe two with just him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Then we have Jeff Hamill, and then he's been here for a voicemail show.
Yep.
So, I mean, people are used to hearing Shipper, and Shipper is going to be stepping in to be a regular on a weekly basis on the show.
Yep, he's going to be a co-host.
Yes.
Co-host.
Yes. That's the word I was looking for.
Yep.
And I will be hopping in when I can, but there's going to be plenty of time where I'm not going to be here, I'm sure. And so we needed to have somebody else fill the shoes, and I think Shipper is a good person to do it. He has a lot of experience in the industry of driving truck. He's one of those guys that's worn many hats, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So I mean,
he's done a lot of different stuff in the industry.
Yeah. And so I mean, like he was in management one time, right?
Well, he was like a supervisor.
Supervisor.
Yeah.
I mean, view supervisors the same way,
right?
Their management.
Exactly.
There's you, and then there's us, you know, and he's crossed a line back and forth throughout his career, I guess. So, I think that he's going to bring a lot of perspective to the show, being somebody who's worn many hats in the industry. And, you don't lose my jovial, jokes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I've been getting doom and gloom recently, so it's probably a breath of fresh air on the show.
It's the stress. It's the stress.
It's been very stressful, but anyways, we decided that we're going to let people know this week, and we'll probably talk about it again next week. But, with my move to Tennessee and trying to build up Merkle Media and stuff, I can't just keep piling on, you know. I'm already doing a lot of time into everything that I do, and I'm trying to find ways to create more time to get more stuff done. So with that said, Brian Shipper is going to be checking in, punching in the clock.
Right.
Here in a couple of weeks, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think people are going to enjoy it.
I think so. I really do. Yeah. He's a great guy. He's an easy, you know, easy to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got it. Like you said, he has a lot of knowledge in the industry itself, and he's been here for a long time.
Yeah, and he's not shy of words.
No, so. he's definitely not shy.
So yeah, I think it's gonna be fun, and I enjoy hearing him. I'm looking forward to hearing more of him. And like I said, I mean, I'm gonna be here from time to time whenever I can hop in and stuff. It's just the obligation to show up every week. I don't think is something that the schedule is gonna be able to handle, especially in the next 2 to 3 months when I really get things rolling. Once I get the office space in Tennessee, that's when things are really going to kick up, because I just have, once I have a business address and I have like the hours at the office and stuff, I mean, it's just going to be, it's weird. It's just weird to how things have been kind of coming together. I mean, it, like the guy I was talking to yesterday and stuff, didn't expect to talk to him at all. Like he just popped out of nowhere.
Yeah,
and,
really cool,
and it's just like, huh, maybe there's something there, you know? He was talking about how people that he's working with would be totally in for, you know, doing a, some kind of collaboration. I'm just like, well, I guess we're going to be doing movies. So,
right.
And I got a guy who is working with me behind the scenes, and he has 30 years of experience in the Hollywood industry. I mean, and he's basically like, I believe in Miracle Media and I want to see it grow. And so let me help you. I'm just like, wow. Okay. Yeah. So, I'm seeing a transition in what I do from being just a podcaster guy, which is how this whole thing started, where I was podcasting with the Confessionals and driving truck, to podcasting with the Confessionals and Hammer Lane Legends and driving truck, to podcasting with the Confessionals and Hammer Lane Legends and producing other people's podcasts and driving truck,
right,
to not driving truck and doing podcasting and producing, to now growing a company. I'm not big into titles, so I just would say that I run a company. I don't know what it is. I don't know if I'm CEO or president or whatever. I'm the everything guy right now.
You're the only guy right now.
Yeah. So it's just like, and I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I'm just trying to figure out as I go. I am is the visionary guy, the dream guy. I tend to see where the potential in things and where things can go. And then somehow I wind up like gravity pulling people in that know what they're doing to help me get there, you know? So, so as the transition happens from just being podcaster to documentary guy and producer guy, now I'm being build the company guy. So it's just, it's been a lot, but I don't know how to end this conversation. So I'll let you do it.
I'll tell you what, we'll end this conversation. Today we're talking to Brian.
There you go. Brian, but not Brian.
not that Brian. It's a different Brian.
we're talking to Brian, but not that Brian, a different Brian. It's Brian and Brian today, and next week is going to be Brian and Brian and Brian, you know? I might just change my name to Brian.
Hey, yeah, that worked.
B3.
Yeah.
Jeez, a whiz. So Brian, man, that's been a long introduction. How you doing?
Yeah, doing good. Sounds like you're going to be pretty busy.
Yeah, it's something, I'll tell you. I like, just when my dad got here, I was on the phone with somebody else, and there's another guy in the industry that wants to work with me, and he invited me out to his conference now, and I'm just like, I'm going to be moving. And then 2 weeks later, I got this invitation. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to break it to my wife that I'm going to move my family to another state. And then 2 weeks later, I got to be gone overnight. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I guess you had to unpack some of the boxes, I guess.
Yeah. What? I'll tell you what. When we moved into this house 7 years ago, Lindsay did most of the unpacking because I was driving truck and doing, 12, 14 hours. I mean, 7 years ago, I was legit doing 14 hours a day a lot because at Pitt, Ohio, your first 3 years are overtime free. They get, they got you working for them as much as they want on straight time. So 7 years ago, I was still within that window. Yeah. And believe me, brother, I was doing my time.
And it was funny because you were happy to walk through that gate. It's like, I'm working at Pitt, Ohio. Look at me. Look at me strut, man.
Skippity-doo-dah.
And I'm like, just what? It'll wear on you. The industry does. It just tears you down after a while.
Oh, my gosh.
I shouldn't say that too much because, we got Brian on the line and, he's fresh into the industry.
Yeah,
so.
Brian.
What was I thinking?
It's great,
fantastic.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's the best thing you've ever done.
I still wonder why I quit.
Yeah.
Brian, so how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. Yeah. Doing all right.
So we kind of teased it just there stuff. How long have you been driving? I mean, I know in the email you said 6 months. So it's been what, 6-7 months since you've been driving?
Yeah. About seven months now. And then I went through their training course too. So that was about 4 weeks. So I guess you could say 8 months total.
Well, what was the decider for you to get into the trucking industry? I think it's a good question to ask, especially from somebody who's so recently into the industry. What is the thing that pushed you to do this and go to school for driving?
I've been thinking about it for a long time, you know, kind of in and out. And I'm like, well, you know, it just never really worked out the times before. And it just kind of got to a point and I was like, man, you know, I need to pull the trigger on this. So it was kind of the idea of being out on my own, being able to kind of work my own hours. I mean, you know, within limits, of course, but instead of just punching the clock and having somebody tell you when you can take your breaks and stuff like that, that was kind of what pushed me into it. And I was like, well, you know, I'm getting older now, so if I'm going to do it, I need to go ahead and do it now. So that's kind of why I decided to do it. Plus, where I'm at, they have a really good option where you're regional right off the bat. Okay. So you don't have to do the over the road where you're gone for, you know, a month at a time or whatever.
Sure.
So that, you know, I'm home every weekend. So that's nice with the kids and everything.
That is nice.
Oh yeah, it is.
So it's not LTO though, right?
No.
That's not bad.
Yeah, man. We do. Yeah. It's, flatbed. So we do a lot of like building materials and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like a lot of the gigs, I mean, I would say, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but, I am the way I've always viewed the industry is it seems like a lot of the gigs that get you home every weekend is when you're punching a clock every day and you're right. Home every day. And it's a lot of LTL grinding stuff. But you know, if you can find a place where you can at least see your family on weekends and stuff, that's a good gig. That's a good gig.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of a too good of a opportunity to pass up. So.
Let me ask you a question. You're a flatbed driver then, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, we had, I forget who it was. We had several flatbed drivers on the show. And, I know the first one brought it up and the other ones confirmed it. That in order to be a flatbed driver, you got to be at least a bigger guy to be able to do what you do as far as the tarping and everything. Is that true, or are you like skinny mini and you still handle
and
it?
3 foot tall.
And 3 foot tall.
No, I'm a pretty big guy.
I really want to hear somebody say, no, I'm actually 5'2" and 110 pounds, and I managed to do it just fine.
Yeah, I mean, there are some guys that aren't the biggest. I mean, they're probably, you know, some guys that are probably 5'8". 150 pounds, you know, that do it. Right. But for the most part, it is some bigger guys that work in the industry working flatbed. But
I imagine going in for the interview, the boss that is like looking you up physically, like, can he hack this?
Can you handle this, son?
Yeah.
It's like going to a meat market or something.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think I probably passed the test though. About 6'1", 250.
There you go. That does it.
Six foot and over, you got the job.
Yeah.
Lots of leverage.
Yeah.
So what have been the have you had any curveballs since getting into the industry that you weren't really expecting? I mean, I know you're kind of new and stuff, but I mean, did you go into the industry thinking that, you know, this is gonna be cake, just drive the truck all day and you know, it's gonna be smooth sailing from here, or have you kind of had any wake-up calls?
The only thing that caught me by surprise, really, you know, because I kind of had an idea that it wasn't going to be easy, you know, every day. But the thing really caught me by surprise is the parking. And I guess, you know, it's not unknown that parking is a big issue. But to me, I just didn't expect it. You know, I figured, oh, I'd just be able to stop, you know, when my time was up and just park anywhere, you know, pull into a truck stop and be plenty of parking. You know, that was just kind of how I thought when I first went in, but it's nothing like that. Like, I didn't think it was going to be that stressful trying to find a place to park as it is.
Yeah. You can spend almost as much time trying to find a spot to park as you did driving all day long. You know, it depends on where you're at. You know, it can be stressful. You know, it's, you know, you're looking for a spot to put something that's, 75 feet long. You know, it ain't easy.
Yeah. That was one of the things I kind of had to adjust my time, like when I start, and that way I can finish at a time where I'm more likely to find a spot. That's kind of the biggest thing I've had to adjust to.
Yeah. So has the industry met all of your expectations then? You know, as far as when you came in, what you thought it was going to be, has it kind of worked out that way? Or, you know, like Tony, I know this is asking kind of the same question Tony asked. you know, but in a different way. Like, has it met your expectations? What you had, what you were looking for, what you wanted, what you were, what you thought you would see here, and has it met your expectations with that?
Yeah, I think it has. You know, I kind of, as long as I make the window of when I'm supposed to deliver, you know, I pretty much make my own hours. I get up when I want to, you know, within reason, but, you know, I kind of decide when I start and when I finish. And, you know, that was a big part of it. And just kind of just freedom of it. I mean, within reason, you know, because it's not as much freedom. You know, you talk to the old guys.
Right.
And it's not nearly as much freedom as back then, but it's still more freedom than, you know, working. Because I've worked in like machine shops and stuff like that, where you're pretty much, you have to be working for a certain time, and then you get breaks here and then, and that. So that was the aspect that kind of I was looking forward to the most. So it's pretty much lived up to everything I thought it was going to be. I mean, some of the dispatch, the stuff they send me on is kind of, but I guess I figured that was going to happen when I was new. They kind of send you the places that everybody else says they don't want to go to.
Right.
And then you learn the hard way that you don't want to go back there. So that's one thing that, you know, that I've learned that I didn't care for, but yeah, it's pretty much been everything I thought it was going to be.
Good.
Yeah. I hearing what he's talking about with the machine shops and stuff, it's like the idea of hearing like a buzzer beep and knowing, oh yeah, I get to stop for 15 minutes and then beep and you got to go back to work. Oh my gosh. Ugh.
Right.
Like, and there's a lot of people that work in the environments like that, you know, like I did factory work, and it's just like, oh man, the freedom that truck driving gives it's nice, because even with like what I was doing with the LTL stuff, I mean, yeah, I had a punch in time every day, you know, but I got to choose when I took a break, technically how many breaks I took, you know, where I drug my feet and where I wanted to hustle because I got to get home by a certain time and all
where
that stuff.
I was going to stop for DoorDash.
Yeah. Like, you know, am I going to stop for the DoorDash today or not? You right. know, do I have time on my agenda for that? You
exactly.
know? So, there was even freedom with just doing the LTL stuff. You know, and in all reality, it's like, you know, you're going about doing your day and stuff, and really, you get done what you get done. I mean, like, you can't control certain things. If you hit a traffic jam because there's an accident, there's an accident. It is what it is. And, you know, so that's a lot nicer than, you know, hitting a machine shop and, you know, everybody punches in at 6 o'clock in the morning, drinking coffee out of styrofoam cups, walking to their machines. And then all of a sudden you hear this bang, bang, and you're working in this shop with your headphones on and you're going until you hear that beep.
And you can hear it.
Break time. Yeah, this is amazing. Yeah. Already? Yeah. It's only been, wow, it's been 2 hours already. How about that? Today's flying by.
Well, you know what's funny is, you know, having done it for as long as, you know, like I've been in almost 30 years, you know, when you do it for this long, you begin to get jaded towards it. And you're like, man, sometimes I just wish I had a 9-to-5 or I was just working in a, you know, a machine shop or whatever, you know, where you just go in, punch in, go home,
yeah.
You know, punch in, punch out, come in drinking coffee, go out drinking beer. You know what I mean?
But
you know, the reality is, and this way, it's sometimes it's good for older drivers to get the perspective of someone who's just come out of that and come into the trucking industry and actually have that perspective of, you know what? It's nice not to be punching a clock. It's nice because you need to be reminded sometimes. You need to be reminded where you are, what you're doing, and that you have a certain, you know, there is a certain amount of freedom.
Like let's put it this way. If I ever had to go back to driving, or if I ever had to go back to working for somebody else,
right.
I would choose to go drive truck. I would not want to be going and be like, hey, can I come and work for you and have my break time at 11:15 to 11:30 every day? Like, no, thanks. Like,
yeah.
What I would wind up doing is I would wind up finding an outfit that, you know, it's not, I don't want to do LTL ever again. Like, I don't want to start on the bottom of the list grinding and all that stuff with the LTL, but I would find something where I can just, you know, here's your route. You have the same 6 stops every day. You drive and you wind up sitting there at the dock for 3 hours while they unload you and just exist, you know, like that's kind of like what I would look for, but I would look for another driving job just because, you know, I think the industry, even though it's not what it used to be, still offers probably the most freedom out of most industries.
Yeah, freedom. And you know, I hope that you're experiencing this, Brian, you know, that the pay is at least somewhat commensurate to it, you know.
Well, Brian just bought his first mansion.
Yeah. right on the bay here in
Brian is
right there with all the hockey players and, you know, the baseball players and all that. And I'm right there.
It's fantastic.
You bought that mansion right on the beach and stuff. You know, you're right there with the politicians. You don't believe in climate change. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I'm not going to be a regular on the show, so I can get my zingers out now. Oh, man. So, Brian, you have a story from when you were training to drive truck. You know where I'm going with this. So I'll let you take it away.
Yeah. So, it was towards, you know, after you get out of the actual, like the school, they put you with a trainer and you do that. It was, 6 weeks with a trainer. So I think it was towards maybe the last 2 weeks I was with the trainer. So we're driving through, middle of Florida. We're on the turnpike. And it's early in the morning, probably about 8 o'clock, and it's Friday. So we're working on getting home, you know, trying to get the load dropped off and all that. So my trainer, he's on the phone talking to somebody else he had previous to me, and he had a problem. So he's trying to help that guy out. So I'm driving, I'm looking in my mirrors, and I see this white car that, it looks like it was going to pass me and then decided it wasn't going to, and then it was going to get back in line. Well, it hadn't cleared me. So I'm looking and I'm like, this guy's getting awful close. Sure enough, goes over and hits my back tire on the trailer. I'm like, oh man. So I tell my trainer, I'm like, this car just hit me. And he's like, okay. He's like, pull over. So we pull over and then that car pulls over behind me and the, he's like, go ahead and call it in. He's like, I'll go back and check to make sure they're okay. So I'm like, all right. So he goes back there, comes back. He's like, yeah, the girl back there, she's like, she's pretty upset, but you know, she's okay. And like, she said she was in an accident like an hour before this. And I'm like, really? So I get out and I walk back there with him. And on the passenger side, there's a big, like donut, you know, where the tire rubbed against her car. Well, go over to the driver's side, her window's busted out, same donut on that side, looks almost mirrored to the passenger side where she hit my trailer. So, and she was saying that after that accident, her car was pulling to the right. And I'm like, that just doesn't make sense because I saw her hit me. And it drifted, like it wasn't a jerk, like it got out of control and jerked over and hit. So I'm looking and we were talking to her and like, so what hit you? You know? And she said, well, all of a sudden my window busted and then I swerved and went off the road. And I'm like, that just doesn't make a lot of sense. So we're talking to her like, hey, you need a phone or anything? And have you made a call? She's like, well, I was at a party last night and somebody threw me in the water and my phone got wet. So I don't have a phone. So we let her use one of our phones. And I'm thinking, I'm like, I bet she fell asleep earlier and hit a trailer just like she hit ours.
Right.
Busted out her window and then was in an accident. And then an hour later hit another semi. And I was like, this lady has to be the luckiest person in the world to have two accidents like that and to still be able to drive her car. And, but she wasn't drunk or anything. I think she was just stayed up all night and tried to drive on down the road. Because where she was coming from, there was no way she got there where we were at, you know, without driving like early in the morning. So, I couldn't believe how lucky she was that she fell asleep. We think twice and hit a semi twice.
Yeah.
Cause it was the exact same, markings on the driver's side as it was the passenger side. But the cop's like, well, I'm going to follow you down the road, and then you need to park over here. Because, you know, in the Florida turnpike there, there's only places to stop every so often. So they followed her, and then I saw them get off the road, and I guess they're going to make her stay there and take a nap or whatever. I don't know. But, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
That is crazy. She's lucky she didn't get killed doing something like that. You know, you swerve over like that, or you drift over. You can wind up drifting over in front of those tandems, and you know those tandems roll over top of you. It's not going to be pretty, you know.
So she wasn't drunk or anything. Like, she didn't have any booze or anything in her system.
Nope, because me and my trainer both went back and talked to her, and you couldn't smell anything. And then the cop that came, like, took her out and was like talking to her and, you know, was assessing it, and like, that I know of, didn't, you know, give her breathalyzer or anything. So I don't think anybody, you know, thought she was drunk. I think she was just maybe stayed up all night. And then, cause I think she was only like 18 or 19. So, you know, at that age, you think you can just stay up all night and then drive all day and good to go.
Yeah. You're invincible. Don't worry about me. I'll be good.
Yeah.
Until you're not.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the industry.
Yeah.
You know, like, shoot, you don't even get your license and you're already having an accent like that. It's like, oh, freak. Yeah. You know, because it makes you wonder, like, I mean, when you're new at driving, you're like, how could somebody hit me? Like, I mean, you see me coming, like, you see this big thing.
How can you not see me?
It's just a bigger target. That's all it is.
So, yeah.
It's like playing a video game on easy mode. It's like, it's like, oh, this is cake.
There was nothing I could do, you know, like, seeing it, like, there was no way to avoid it.
Right.
You know, I couldn't speed up because, you know, we can only go 65 because it's governed at that.
Right.
So then I couldn't slow down because that would make it even worse. So, like, I just had to watch her hit me. So that was crazy.
Yep.
Yeah. That was a wild part of it.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's the slow motion train wreck that you're watching.
Yeah.
Like, this is not going to be good.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, it happens.
Yeah. Well, so listen, that was, you know, I guess the beginning of the driving career, but before you did this stuff, you were working, I mean, by your email, UPS and FedEx, I guess, right?
Yeah, in my early 20s, I'd started at UPS, and, you know, started working in the, like, unloading trucks or unloading the trailers and that, and then I worked up to where I was air delivery driver.
What is that? So what is air delivery?
So they had drivers where they had a position where you'd work, like the full-time people that did it, they would work their 4 hours inside the building. And then they would do 4 hours where they would deliver, like the early commits, like the 8 o'clock to like 10 o'clock where they have to be there by that time. So they're like the overnight stuff that had to be delivered. So those drivers had to leave early because a lot of times, like the regular ground guys, they might not leave until, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning to start their day. So anything that had the early commits, they would have specific air drivers that would go out and do that. And then on the weekends, they're the ones that drove on Saturday. And, that stuff usually had to be by noon on Saturdays. So, what I would do since I was part-time, I would just fill in if somebody was on vacation and they needed somebody, or they just had a lot of volume. So I would do that. And then I would drive on Saturdays, and then I'd have my own route on Saturday. And that was pretty neat, you know, because I got to know the whole area. And I had an area where it was like real far out in the country. So I didn't have a lot of stops, but I might drive, you know, 300 miles, you know, just because it's just so spread out. But that was the bad side of that was too, that I was the farthest one out, and it took, if anything happened, like I was pretty much on my own to try to figure it out. You know, if I got stuck somewhere or, you know, which happened a few times. But yeah, it was pretty neat. It was a cool experience. But one week we got a real bad ice storm, and they called and they didn't unload any packages that day. They called everybody. They shut down the facility, which is like unheard of, but that's how bad the ice was. So later, I think that was a Tuesday or Wednesday. And then by Saturday, the weather had gotten better, but it was still kind of areas where it wasn't good to drive. But so I was a little nervous, but I got down to my area and it's real hilly. Like it's back in the middle. It's kind of like, almost like Kentucky, where it's just like hills and like backwoods, and that was like my area that I was in. And my first delivery, I get there and I'm like, you know, I'm kind of nervous about the roads being icy, but I'm like, oh, they're pretty clear. I think I'm going to be okay. So I'm driving up this hill and it's, pretty much just one way in, one way out, but there's houses off to either side as you go up, and it's a gradual incline all the way. It doesn't flatten out at all. It's just gradual incline. And road's clear. I'm doing good. Come around kind of a curve, and the road starts, you know, it turns white where there's snow and ice still packed on there. I'm like, this might not be good. So I'm like, oh, I'll keep going. So I'm going up this hill, and before too long, I'm driving, and I'm not going as fast as I was before. And I can see where, I mean, I still got my foot on the gas, but I'm slowing down. I'm like, oh no. So all of a sudden I'm not going forward anymore, and it starts to slide backwards on this ice. So I put the brake on. It didn't do anything. It still kept sliding. So I had to pull the e-brake. So the e-brake luckily stopped it. And so I'm trying to sit there and assess the situation. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I can't go forward. I'm like, this thing's going to keep sliding back. So I look back behind me, and about maybe 50, 60 feet behind me, there's a lane to get into this house. To go back in there. So I'm like, well, maybe I can slide. You know, in my head, you know, I'm 24 years old and thinking I'm a genius. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to let this thing slide. I'm going to turn, and it's going to, you know, I'm going to put the back end right into this lane. And then I'm going to turn around and go back down the hill. I'm like, perfect plan. Nothing can go wrong. And so I let go of the e-brake, start to slide. And you guys know, like on ice, it doesn't matter what you think you're going to do. Like that ice controls what your truck, you know, what your vehicle is going to do.
Right.
So I turn the wheel, and sure enough, I go back maybe 10 feet and it slides the opposite direction, goes off the road on the other side away from the lane that I was trying to go into. And I get stuck in the snow off the road. So I call up my manager. He's like, well, I got two other guys stuck. He's like, you're pretty much on your own. Yeah. I was like, okay. And I was like, well, that's nice. So I get off the phone with him. I'm like, I guess I'm going to have to John Wayne this one. And, I'm like trying to come up with a plan. I'm like, first off, I'm going to walk up here and just deliver this package. You know, since I'm stuck, I might as well just get the delivery off. So I walked maybe a quarter mile to this house and delivered it. And then was coming up with a plan on my way back. And they have like a, you know, winter kit in the back of the truck. And essentially it was like one of those foldable shovels. And then chains, but what it was just a chain link. So it just wrapped like one time around, like one spot on the tire. I'm like, I don't know what this has got to do. And Central Indiana, like I didn't have any experience with chains because it doesn't really get that bad that often. So we don't really keep them around. And I was like, okay, so this might work. So I'm digging out the snow and then to see if I can at least get some traction to get out from being stuck. And I look back, that lane that I was trying to go into, this lady's walking out, and she's got a bucket full of ashes from her fireplace. And she's like, here, spread these down. And I spread that down, and sure enough, it worked, and I backed up, got some traction with that chain, and backed into her lane, and then drove back down. So I ended up getting myself out. But
so you're saying a bucket of ashes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gosh, yeah.
I never heard of that.
I hadn't either.
You guys haven't been around as long. They used to use that a lot back in the day, even cars. Yeah. You know, back in the 60s and stuff.
Shoot,
like that.
I'm going to start keeping ash in the back of my trunk.
Because a lot of people had a coal stove, for heat back then. So they would just, maybe not in Florida, but up here, PA, that's what,
That lady came to to save the day with a bucket of ashes. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Anything on the grid, that's what it is.
Yep. Yeah. I hadn't heard of it until she came out there and, so I spread this down. I'm like, okay. And it probably worked better than salt or anything else that I've used. But, later on when I tell people about it, they're like, oh yeah, ashes are great to use.
Yeah.
But I had never, up until that point, I'd never.
I'm telling you, if I would have known this, I would have gotten like a 5 gallon bucket and just dumped ashes in it and threw it in the truck just so I, I had it.
Yeah.
Man, that's so cool. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
See that? I'm leaving the show just in time. All my good commentaries out of the way. Now the stupid stuff's coming up. Like, oh, you didn't know that, son? Okay. Why do you have a trucking podcast then?
Yeah, no, that's actually that's cool. I'm surprised that somebody actually nowadays, because that's just one of those things you don't hear of unless it's an older person,
who And that was the cool part about the route I had, because it was out in the country and there was a lot of people that would, if you got in trouble, they'd help you. Because I'd gotten stuck two other times. I called and I'm like, hey, usually I try to walk because I'm like, I don't want to drive up their lane.
Right.
And in the snow. So I call these people because it's a heavy package. And they're like, yeah, no problem. You can get up here and turn around and everything. You'll be all right. Sure enough, I drive up there and I get stuck.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, we thought you'd get through here, but we got a neighbor that's got a tractor. So the guy comes over, hooks me up and pulls me out with his tractor, and then I go on the way. But then another time, same thing, they called the neighbor and had a tractor come over. And while I was waiting, I helped the guy string up his Christmas lights.
That's awesome.
That's why he told you to come up the road, just because he figured, hey, he'll get stuck. Yeah. I can get help with my lights.
Yeah, free help. Got some free help coming.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you busy, man? Not really. You want to come help me do the lights?
Yeah.
Being so stuck and I'm just sitting there,
He purposely told the guy on the tractor to, like, hey, give me about an hour.
I got lights I'm putting up.
I got a sucker here
to help.
Wow. Yeah.
I'll hold the ladder for him.
I just saw a video on Instagram, and it was a pickup truck, and I think it was during snow. He was pulling a car, and he finally gets the lady's car on the road, and he keeps pulling just a little bit too far. And he drives his truck into a ditch on the other side of the road. and I'm like, that sucks, man. No good undeed or no good deed goes unpunished, right? Holy crap, man.
Yeah.
But that's cool. I mean, like, it's nice because, I mean, if you had that kind of situation in more of a city environment, you wouldn't have had that opportunity to have a tractor come, and pull you out.
Yeah. And you wouldn't have had the opportunity to help somebody put their lights on their house.
Yeah.
Welcome to Christmas.
Oh, man. Are you a cheerful, jolly guy for Christmas? Are you like more like a bah humbug kind of guy? I'm a bah humbug guy. Like, I'm anti-Christmas.
I'm more of a cheerful guy. Like, I like it. I like the season. I think the gifts and stuff gets a little extreme, but just that side of it. But the actual season part, I enjoy.
I get grumpy during Christmas.
Oh yeah.
I get grumpy all the time though. I'm a grumpy kind of guy these days. I swear to you, man, like once Thanksgiving's over and I start hearing that stinking Christmas music, and usually it's like after Halloween these days, like I'm tapped out already. I'm like, no, I ain't doing it. I can't tell you how many. I can't tell you the last time I helped put a Christmas tree up. Like I just come into the room and it's done. So
Tony's a boy.
Yeah, I'm like Charlie Brown. Like, my wife doesn't like me to go by myself to pick out a Christmas tree because I feel bad for the Christmas tree that's like deformed and like nobody wants. So like I buy that one then I bring it back and my wife's like, why did you buy this tree? And I'm like, well, nobody, I didn't want it to be the only one sitting there.
Yeah. I felt bad for an inanimate object.
Yeah.
I would do the same thing only it's because it has far less ornaments to put on, you know? So like, I'm like, the reason why I got it is because it has two branches. So that's just a lot easier. So Christmas. Anyways. Yeah. So those are your snow stories. Awesome. Tell me, I'm assuming this is UPS. Maybe it's FedEx. You were attacked by a swan.
Oh yeah. That was, well, it didn't quite attack me, but what happened was, so it was in that same general area. Like, my route was like Martinsville, Indiana. And then if you go, let's see, I think it's east. Yeah. You keep going east and you get to like an area of like Trafalgar, which is more country. It's, you get out of the hills and that, and it's more just like farmland. And I drive back to this house, kind of sits back and, drive up there, and you can tell that they're like getting ready to leave that house and they're building a great big mansion back behind it by like this pond and everything. I'm like, oh, that's pretty nice. Sounds good. So I was kind of checking out the house and everything and pulled up and opened my door, went and looked for the package. And, I kind of heard some rustling. And I was like, you know, it's kind of weird that farm and they don't have any dogs. Usually you see dogs around. And so I get out of the truck and I kind of feel like something's there. And I can't, but it's not a dog or anything. So I'm starting to walk up the house and I look over my shoulder and there's a swan. And I'd never seen a swan like up close like that before. Uh-huh. And this thing was massive. It looked like it ate two other swans. Like it was gigantic. And it's walking towards me like real slow. I'm like, oh, that's kind of neat. So I was like, you know, just kind of interrupted where it was going. So I'm walking to the house. Well, it changes direction and it's following me. And it's like the, you know, the killer in the scary movie that like, no matter how fast they run, he only stays one speed, but he still catches them.
Yeah.
That was what this swan was doing. Like he was walking to me, but he never changed pace. Never said anything. Just was coming straight at me. So I'm like, okay. So I'm still like, it doesn't bother me. So I walk up to the house and put this, you know, package down and knock on the door and start to walk back. And I think the swan's going to head to the house. No, he turns direction and he's coming right at me. So he's still a slow walk coming straight at me. So I get back in the truck and usually if I'm out that far, I try to like, I'll look at my map another time for my next stop before I get going again. So I sit in the truck and I start to look at the map. And, actually before that, so I see the swan still coming towards my truck. So I'm like, well, I still had to turn around. So I'm like, well, I'm going to go ahead and turn around so he doesn't get by the truck and I run him over.
Right.
So I pull a little ways down the lane away from the house. And so I'm sitting there looking at my map, get everything done.
What? Looking at what?
My map.
your map? I mean, I'm sitting across from Tony.
What's a map?
GPS is all he knows.
Yeah,
I'm just busting on him, but it's funny. It's something you don't hear anymore. Somebody who's actually broke out a map.
Yeah, like, I mean, that just reminds me. That reminds me. I need to get a map because the world's ending, and I need to make sure I have some
form of direction.
Yeah. So
anyway, I didn't mean to rudely interrupt you there, Brian.
Oh no, that's all right. Yeah, I had one of those real nice. I don't know if they remember the they're like the green map, mm-hmm. and they had like by state, and they had every county
right
in there. And you could look up like each county and then it had like specific roads. So it had like all the country roads and everything. They were great.
Yes.
But that's how I would map everything out. And, so I was looking at that, making sure I knew where my next stop was and what road I needed to turn on. And I look in my mirror and I'm like halfway down this guy's drive. This swan is right behind my truck.
Michael Myers has showed up.
Yeah. He had followed me all the way down that lane. And I'm like, what is the deal with this swan? I'm like, just leave me alone. And so, but yeah, I took off and you know, but I thought that was funny because it was, he never changed speed, but he was like right there on me.
It's like a horror movie, you know, it's like Night of the Living Dead, the original, you know, the 1968 Night of the Living Dead, where they're moving real slow, but boy, they're right there all the time.
That is one gangster swan, I'll tell you. He's like, yo, what's up, brown man? You want some of this? Come on. You want to come around my neck of the woods and all your brown? We fresh, white, and clean around here, brown man.
Yeah. And he looked like he could have picked up the corner of my truck too. Like, it was huge. Like, I didn't know they could get that big. Like, I think it was probably like their pet, and they just fed him like all the time, is what I'm guessing. But
I just ate the last brown man that came this way. You want some of this too? Wham!
I just took care of Mr. FedEx. You're next on the menu.
And we gotta make this quick, brown man, because we got Amazon coming in an hour.
And he pushed the FedEx truck into that pond. Yeah.
Cover the evidence. Turns around after he pushes it in the pond. He's like, gangster. That's what I am, gangster. That's so funny. Pushed it in the pond. That's great.
One day they'll drain that pond. There's FedEx trucks, UPS trucks, Amazon vehicles.
Make the nightly news. Missing FedEx drivers.
Exactly. That's where the trucks have been going.
Still trying to find the perpetrators, but we found the trucks. No bodies have yet been found.
The biggest swan we've ever seen.
Oh my god!
Cuff him, Dano. That's a reference.
You know, and that might have been his house. The mansion might have been the people. Yeah. You might have lived in that front house there.
That's you got my package, brown man. I want you to hand that stuff to me.
Oh my word, that would be such a hilarious commercial, wouldn't it?
It really would. Yeah. It really would.
Swan comes waddling out and starts talking.
If we see this pop on a commercial sometime, I'm gonna be pissed.
Ah, it's good listening to the show.
Hey, we didn't get credit though. I guarantee you already, we didn't get credit for it.
Oh my word, that was hilarious.
Okay, so let's let's take a break and talk about our sponsors. No, I'm just kidding. We don't got any of those. So
when did that happen?
Oh man, but no, let's transition to some other animals. Dogs. As you in the email, you said you had dog encounters. I'm like, what is this? Like,
is that like a dog man showed up?
What is going on?
A lot of times, you know, like I said, like if it was snow, if it heavy snow, like I would walk up the lane. Mm-hmm. And one time I was like, that's pretty far up there. So I'll just walk. And I think these dogs are just waiting on me because I get about halfway up their lane. And then all of a sudden these dogs come running out barking. And there's like a gigantic, I mean, it was like St. Bernard and then something else and another one. And there was nowhere I could go. You know, I couldn't run back to my truck because I was too far up there. And I was like, well, hopefully they're friendly. So I just kept walking, and sure enough, they were. So that was one time. But I had delivered to this house, and you know how, not a screen door, but it has like that glass door, like the first door to the houses where they're, mm-hmm. instead of a screen, it's like that clear glass.
Yeah.
And that was shut, but then the people I could see were sitting in there, and then there was a pit bull that was like laying on the floor. So I go up and put the package right next to the door, and I could see the people in there. Well, when the dog saw me, he jumped at the door. Well, it wasn't latched.
Wow.
And that door came at me, and I was like, oh shit. But luckily, what saved me was it surprised him just as much as it surprised me. So he stepped back and I stepped back. And then in that split second, I lunged forward and I shut the door and I held my hand on it. Cause I didn't know if like the people that walked through just didn't shut it all the way or if it was broke. So like I'm leaning against this door with everything I have. And this dog keeps jumping and hitting it. So we're like, you know, I'm like, man, if I let go of this door, like this dog's going to get out and chase me to the truck. And the people inside are just still sitting on their couch. Wow. And I'm like, can I get some help here?
Right.
And finally, they kind of get up and mosey over and then grab him. I'm like, well, that's nice. But yeah, that one scared me. but
that would scare me. Yes, sir. Yeah. That was helpful, people. There you go. Your dog's attacking me or trying to get me. Can you help me? Hello? Yeah. Hello?
Yeah. That was probably the most entertainment they'd had in a while. So they were crying. Right. Just hanging back, watching.
Oh, my word.
That's funny.
That is.
That, but I mean, it's a pit bull. That's just it can be a scary dog because of the stigma, you know? Like, I really like pit bulls. I'll never have one because my wife does not like the pit bull Rottweiler thing. Because my wife, she when she was a little girl, she was chased down by a Rottweiler and it like bit her arm off pretty much. Like she's still got, she's got a scar.
She's got a hook now, but
yeah, she yeah, she's got a hook. So many jokes going through my head.
I know, I can imagine.
So many things that are inappropriate, so I'll just let it go.
Smart move.
So anyways, my wife, right after the hook, she has a big scar on the back of her knob. And
poor Lindsay.
But
oh, my word.
But, you should see her typing emails. It's actually quite impressive.
It's amazing what you can do with a hook.
Yeah, so... anyways, but yeah, no, I mean, so pit bulls, they're originally known as the nanny dogs. And because they were originally like really popular for farmers to have, mm-hmm. because they would leave the pit bulls with the kids to babysit the kids while the farmers were out working the fields. And like they're really good with kids, and they're really good at like making sure the kids stay in line kind of thing. And it's just a shame that they're naturally so strong of animals that you know, people turn that into a negative, right?
Sure.
And turn them into fighting dogs and things like that. But their natural instinct is to be family oriented, take care of the kids, and just be like very parental. Mm-hmm. And that I find that very interesting. That you know, the original name of these dogs were the nanny dog, and now they're the pit bull that is like feared amongst the crowds. You know, it's just like, wow. Talk about going from one extreme to the other.
Yeah,
you know?
I'll tell you, I got bit by a dog when I was a kid. And it wasn't a pit bull. It was a Pekingese. So let me tell you, little dogs are just as mean as big dogs. And when you're 5 years old, it don't matter. It hurts.
That freaking hurts.
So I don't like dogs anymore.
Yeah. If anybody hears a truck in the background, it's my neighbor Mike turning on his truck. Mike!
He must have looked at his watch and said, oh, Tony's recording right now. Let me go start my
last
truck.
Week recording in Pennsylvania, Mike! Really? It's okay. It's all right. I'm going to tell him to listen to this show. Yep. He made a guest appearance.
There you go.
But yeah, so I don't know how we got... Oh, the dog thing. That's right. Yeah. But yeah, so I guess moving on. FedEx.
Yeah. That's what we do.
So you said that you were a ramp agent for FedEx. Like, I don't even know what that means. Yeah. What is a ramp agent?
Yeah. So the ramp agent is, they have like inside ramp agents, and then they have ones that work outside. Because I worked at the airport loading the planes. And they have the ones on the inside, they, you know, pretty much manage the flights. Like, they're in charge of like, you know, between one and three flights, and they decide the order of the can that get loaded. They're, I guess I should call them containers. Like, they have different size containers that go on the airplanes. Mm-hmm. So they decide which ones get loaded, how they get pulled to go out to the plane. And, so I started as a, just a package handler. And when they bring those containers off the plane, you go in and just throw them on the belt, and then they sort them from there. So that's what I started out doing. Then I moved up to a team leader, and then from team leader, I moved into ramp agent. And I was a ramp agent inside. So I was doing that, and like organizing the cans and you know, putting people in different places to make sure they got loaded correctly. Well, they got a new manager, and they're like, okay, we're moving all the indoor ramp agents outside. And I was one of the first waves to go out to do that. And I'm like, I'm not trained on any of these planes. And they're like, oh yeah, we'll get you trained. You'll be all right. So, you know, go through and get trained on all the different size planes, like 757, 767, just MD-10, different planes that we had, Airbuses. And so I'm a ramp agent. So I'm like pretty high. That's like kind of the highest you can get in leadership wise before you become a manager.
Okay.
So I was making pretty good money. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's still part time, but, so they send me outside and they put me with this team that we fill in for people that are like, you know, a team out there is missing a ramp agent. I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing out here. And I'm like, you're putting me on a team where I'm just going to have to fill in for somebody and then tell people what to do. I'm like, this isn't going to work out well. So, so I get out there, and on the outside, what they do, they usually, the team leader usually unloads the plane, but when it comes to loading the plane, the ramp agent, kind of directs how it needs to be loaded, according to the container number, because it's all by weight. Mm-hmm. So they want to make sure the weight's distributed evenly all through the plane, because if it's too heavy on the back, the plane could crash, mm-hmm. but that's kind of what they do. And then they, at the end, before the plane takes off, they got to make sure the fuel's right, everything's loaded correctly, and all that good stuff.
Wow, and that's a part-time job.
Yeah, yeah. And I was working pretty much full-time hours. Uh-huh. But yeah, it's considered just part-time. But so I get out there, one of the first weeks I'm out, you know, I'd just gotten trained on the loaders and the planes and all that, and this team I'm working with, they're like, hey, can you go get this loader? And that's like a couple of gates down from where our plane is. I'm like, oh yeah, no problem. You know, I'm fresh out of class. I think I'm going to show these guys I can do this. So I go over there, get this loader started. And I'm like, I'm going to go down the drive lane, go over there, and that's the quickest way. So I get going and I look and I'm like, there's a light pole and then something else on the other side. I'm like, I'm not going to make it between there. Like, oh man. So I'm like, I'm gonna have to back up and go around. Well, when I go around, there's an airplane coming in that gate. So I have to wait to go around that. And you gotta wait till they get marshaled in and then everything. And it takes forever. So I finally get going around there. This thing's going snail speed. And there's a way to change the speed, but I didn't know how to do it. I was new to running the loader. So this thing's creeping along. I'm barely getting back there. And then it takes me forever to get, I bet it took me an hour to get this thing to go over two gates back to this plane. And I'm like, oh, these guys, I know all these guys are just like, man, this guy is a ramp agent. I'm like, and they're, you know, I knew they're just making fun of me the whole time. I'm like, oh, I just wanted to crawl inside of a hole, you know, but eventually, you know, I got pretty good at it. And, you know, down the line, my team, we would help out other teams to unload. But then at the end of the night, we would load the planes. And my group, we would load 757. And they're different because you got to load by hand underneath. Like you unload the containers and do package by package and stack it underneath. But then the top side, they have smaller cans that go in. So we split up and usually you need two people on the bottom and two people on top to load. And me and this other guy get there and we're like, well, yeah, we're kind of hot shots. So we're like, oh, you know, I'll drive. You know, he's like, you know, I'll run a loader and then I'll load captain. So, and then I'm like, okay, I'll drive, unload the cans off of these dollies. So they have big dollies and each tug that we use can have four dollies on it. So these containers on there, and you got to know, usually they want you to have somebody marshal you up to the plane to unload those cans. And I was, you know, I was like, oh, I'll just marshal myself. So we're unloading this. There's two guys, one down and one up top, and it's supposed to be a minimum of four. So we're kind of breaking the rules anyways. So I pull up, throw a can on there. Well, it's spun wrong. And they have two that, like, they have these ones that are whole containers and others that are split. So you can kind of move them and however you want to put them into the plane. Well, I put the wrong one on there. So he's like, oh, that's the wrong one. You got to spin it. So I get in between the dolly and the cans already on the loader. And they've got those rollers that he can use a joystick up top and move them back and forth. So it was kind of stuck. So I was in there trying to move it back and forth. Well, he pushes it to go back on the dolly, and I'm in between there. And that thing starts smashing the back of my leg between the dolly and then the container. And I'm like, and it's like pushing me all the way over. Like I'm almost laying on top of the dolly. And I'm like, this is it. I'm like, it's going to rip my legs off. I'm like, I'm done. So I'm screaming, you know, I'm yelling for help and yelling to stop. Like, and I'm like, he can't hear me. I mean, there's no way. It's so loud out there. And finally he stops and pulls back, and I get out there, and my leg, like, it was pretty painful. And so I kind of hobble over, and I go and sit down on the side, and I just sit there. And then he's like trying to talk to me. I'm like, just give me a minute. Just give me a minute. Cause I was like, I thought for sure I was going to lose my leg. And later, I get up there and I ask him, I'm like, hey, did you hear me yelling? He's like, no. And I was like, well, why'd you stop? He's like, well, I kind of figured you, I didn't see anywhere else. I figured you're probably in between there. But that was, there's a lot of stuff like that there that was pretty scary. You know, if you didn't pay attention, I mean, there's a lot of people who got hurt pretty bad out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was terrifying though. I thought for sure I was going to lose my leg.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it. I would be terrified too. And, you know, it's that kind of stuff in this kind of industry, just the wrong decision. It could be life threatening. And, you know, it's, I'll do it. Why not? I don't think he's going to care. So I have a friend back at Pitt, Ohio, Andrew, and I have to
don't lie, you don't have friends.
That's true. I have acquaintances. he just recently, and I don't know if he's out of work. I'm sure he is. I don't know what the situation is, but and it was his fault. But he was in his tractor getting ready to hook up to a trailer, and he comes up to the trailer and he starts to turn his steering wheel right to pull and get his truck straight to back up. And I he must not have looked in his mirror, and there was a line haul guy going by him, and he turns right back into the back tandem of the trailer,
right,
and it catches the wheel and kicks his steering wheel the opposite direction, and it smacked his hand and shattered his hand or something like that. Like, he had to have pins put in his hand and stuff. And it's just like the simplest, smallest wrong decision could really have some dire consequences.
Definitely.
Yeah. It's crazy. There was this team that I worked with quite a bit out there at FedEx, you know, I'd help them out. And, there was this, girl that worked with them that he kind of did some stuff when I was working with him. I was like, man, I'm like, I need to kind of keep an eye on her, cause she was doing some stuff that kind of put herself in a bad spot. Well, she had, like, to get up to unload the plane, you can either go inside or you can crawl up the outside of the loader. They got a ladder that you can go up. Well, the team, like, three people went up. Well, the lady that was running the loader, she thought everybody was up there. So she starts moving up. And this other girl decided she was going to climb up the ladder to get up there. So it's moving in the process as she's climbing. And she slips and falls. Well, when she did, her leg got caught in between where that, because it's like a, kind of like a, where the ladder, where it, as it's moving, it extends up. So she got her leg caught in between there and fell and, like, broke her leg, broke her back. I mean, it was bad. They're like, it was just, like you said, just a simple thing of climbing up a ladder and slipped. And, you know, she's probably, that might be a, you know, lifelong injury that she's always going to have. So it's, there's stuff like that that is pretty scary if you're not paying attention.
Yes, it is.
So, Brian, as we kind of wind this thing down, we started on this conversation with you just getting into the industry. It seems like you've done a lot with your life and careers. You've done a lot of different jobs and stuff. UPS, FedEx. I mean, can you pick a side? And so, pick a team, Brian. Do you think that driving truck is your final destination, or do you think it's a stopgap for maybe like another career for yourself?
No, I think it's probably where I'll stay. I'd like to, you know, eventually maybe get into like a management side of it, because I've got my degree in my bachelor's degree. So
wow.
I'd kind of like to eventually, you know, once I get some time driving, mm-hmm. you know, cause I enjoy it. You know, I don't want to go, you know, only do it for like a year and then go into management or anything. Cause you know, I enjoy doing it, but I would eventually like to get more into like a management side of things.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah. Still in the same industry.
Sure. No, that's awesome. That really is. And it's good, you know, to, you know, have aspirations like that. You know, it gives you something to shoot for. You don't want to, you know, don't want to limit yourself, you know, so that's a good thing. That's really cool. And I hope it works out for you. I really do. Cause I, you know, it's a great industry. It really is. You know, we, you know, like earlier we're, you know, kind of busting. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you're not jaded yet. It's you know, the industry can be difficult at times. Yeah. But, you know, it's a great job. I mean, I've spent almost 30 years doing it and have made a good living. And that's, you know, what more can you ask for in this life? You have a decent job, yeah. You make a decent living, you have a good family. Because you do the things you do and what you endure, you do that for family, you know?
Yeah.
I do it for the money, yeah. But, you know.
You know, it's funny. Yeah. Tony, you freaking jerk sometimes. You know, it's you do the things you have to do so that you can do the things you want to do. Yeah. And trying to get yeah. that, you know, that across to people is especially, you know, younger people. It can be difficult to get them to understand, you know, you have to do the things that you have to do in order to do the things that you want to do. Your life is not about doing just what you want.
Oh, you're going to get me going, aren't you? Are you trying to get me ragey before we end this conversation? I'm so sick and tired of my generation and their soft cupcake pansies that don't want to work. Okay. I'm tired of it. Everybody wants immediate results, no delayed gratification. They don't want to work for their success. They just want success, and they want the image of success so they can call success, even though success requires work to get there. So you really don't have success if it's just been given to you. You freaking bums. Okay.
Whew. Tell us what you really think, Tony.
Drive me nuts. Yeah. Drive me nuts. I'm so sick and tired of this younger generation, my generation. Like, I'm a millennial.
You are.
I just made the cutoff, you know? Like, I think the first year of millennials was like 84 and I was born in 85. So, like, I'm like an elder statesman, you know? So.
Yeah, I think the age group is 24 to 44. That's the age group that they're in. That's the millennial age group.
Not 44.
So that's what I heard as far as the insurance companies. The insurance companies.
They're wrong.
Are looking at
that's wrong.
Oh, yeah. You tell
I'm telling them they're wrong. I'll tell them. Give them a call. I'll tell them.
All right. Yeah, well, all right. Let's get AIG on the phone.
Oh, man.
Progressive, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Flow, knock it off. Farmers, no, you're not.
Ryan, it's been good, man.
Oh, my word, yeah. It has been a blast.
Yeah. Hey, I got one more quick story for you.
Okay.
When I first came down here to Clearwater, I took a job with FedEx Ground delivering. And one of the first week or two that I was doing it, I had to stop way out, you know, out there towards Clearwater Beach. And my truck breaks down right at the stopping. It's a gigantic, looks like apartments.
Uh-huh.
But it's gated. I mean, it's like real, real tall fences. And I keep seeing, I'm across the street and it, you know, I'm broke down. I'm like, you know, I call them and say, they're like, okay, yeah, we'll be out there to get you. So, like, well, I might as well deliver these stops while I'm here. But I keep seeing these vans go in and out of this place. I'm like, well, is this like a retirement? They're at home or something, like, but there's a ton of buildings. I mean, and they're all the same shape and size. So I'm like, well, I'll just carry these in. So I go up to the gate, and as it opens, I'm like, I'm just going to walk right in. You know, like, I own the place. As soon as the gate opens, I'm going to walk in. Maybe the security guy won't, you know, I'll just go through and drop off the package. Uh-huh. As soon as I walk through that, past that, where that gate opens, guy jumps out. He's like, oh, can I help you? I said, well, I was going to deliver these. He's like, oh, you got to go downtown. There's one place that takes all the deliveries. I'm like, all right, that's kind of weird, but okay. So I go back to my truck, and the guy that comes to help me, the truck's broke down. He's like, that's the Scientology Center. He's like, all that stuff goes downtown. I didn't know, because I had just moved to Clearwater. I didn't realize that it's like a huge Scientology
area. It's like the headquarters for the religion.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I didn't know it. And this is where all the workers live, was where I was at. And that's why they bus them in and out to go downtown to work. And they have a specific area where all their packages go to. You got to deliver there, and then they send them to all the employees or whatever they are. And yeah, they all work downtown, but they all stay at that one campus, and they just bus them back and forth.
Wow. Go figure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We could talk.
I know. Tony just all of a sudden perks up, sits up in his chair. Oh, well, yeah. We could talk about it.
I thought you'd like that. That's why I was going to throw that in there. I figured you'd find that the Scientology thing interesting there.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, I always find cults interesting. So, you know.
Yeah.
I dare you, that one listener that's probably being rebellious and listening right now, to email me about how wrong I am about calling what you do a cult. I dare you. Because I'm not going to be getting the emails anymore.
Jackass.
Oh man, fun times.
Oh, that's awesome.
Burn the bridge on the way out.
Just burn it, blow it up.
Brian, this has been fun. This has been a fun conversation, man. I really do appreciate you sharing.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I'm glad you guys let me come on and tell some of my stories.
Oh, most definitely. Thank you so much for coming on. And as you're driving and as you're, you know, experiencing stuff, don't forget that we're here. Continue, you know, listening to us. And when you have stories to share, come back on, send us an email. We'll bring you back on. We'd love to hear from you again, especially as your experience grows and you're doing this, you know, longer period of time. And, you know, you become jaded like the rest of us.
It could be Brian.
Yeah. The triple B's.
Oh my gosh. That's like the Big Baller brand. Their last name is Ball, and the dad has three sons, and so it's BBB for the brand. The logo is BBB, three B's, and so that could be that show.
There you go.
Big Brian brand. Yep.
So, triple B's.
Oh yep. Man. Well, on that note, thanks everybody for tuning in. We do appreciate it.
Yes, we do.
Dad, tell the people what they can do if they enjoyed the show.
If you enjoyed this show, share it. Share it with everybody you know and everybody you don't know. Put it on your Facebook page. Put it on your Instagram. Put it on your Twitter. Share the show everywhere you can.
Absolutely.
That's how we grow. And the more we grow, the more stories we have, the more people we have coming on. That's how we grow it.
And just a reminder, it's not goodbye. It's just changing of consistency, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just
a transition period. That's all.
We're adding Brian as a co-host because my presence is going to be in and out. So just, you know, I think it's going to be fine.
It is. Yeah. It's going to be good.
So, friends, very, very exciting times moving forward, and we hope that you guys are in for the ride. And until next week, keep the hammer down
in the hammer lane.
Bye. We'll be right back.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.